Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Writer's Block with Jim Christina and Bobby Bell, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to another wonderful evening broadcasting right here on LA Talk Radio, very own The Writer's Block. I am your host, Jim Christina, and I'm sitting looking at my friend Bobby Bell sitting behind a brick wall, or a concrete wall, or a rock wall, or sitting someplace. Anyway, hi, Bobby.
Hey, Jim. Do you know where we were 2 years ago?
2 years ago. Mm-hmm. I wasn't there, but you guys were at the Cowboy Festival.
Yes, we were in the studio with you, though, Thursday night.
2 years ago?
Yep, Almeida Bradshaw, and yep. We had a great time, and then you weren't with us at that festival, but yeah, this is Cowboy Week history for us, not happening, of course, last year or this year. But for you and me, a week of pretty good memories.
Well, it's been, I mean, we did the festival together for almost 10 years.
Eight years. Yep. Wonderful time. Run.
And wonderful people. I can't say enough about the writers and the musicians that showed up and spent time with us.
Yep.
And they were so gracious, all of them.
Yeah. I think we love being together so much that when you got the idea for this show, I think that Cowboy Festival kind of came right along.
Yeah, that was when we started getting appointments when we were in the green building at the back.
Yes.
Remember that? Yeah. That's when we first booked Eric and Al.
Yes.
Yeah,
2015 maybe. I don't you know, the years all just are blending.
15.
Right, Dom?
Dom's shaking his head. He's going, yeah, I know that. No, you don't, Dom. Just sit quietly. You know what? I'm going to make a real quick announcement because this is one that we're going to be doing weekly now. If you are a writer and you've got a book published and you really want to have it advertised and you want to run a real quick ad on the Writer's Block on Thursday nights, you can do that. It costs you $25. Send it in to jchristina at TuscanyBayBooks.com and PayPal, and send me a no longer than 1 minute information about the book and yourself, and we'll get that at the start of every show, and we'll get that in for you. And I think it'll help promote some authors' books and get some books sold, and we'll do what we can to get some coin in your pocket. So that's jchristina at TuscanyBayBooks.com, PayPal. PayPal only, okay? All righty. We have a great guest tonight. In fact, I graced his show on January 16th, I believe, or something, and this year. Quite a man. He's quite the gentleman. He's a certified self-leadership expert. Well, whatever that is. With the John Maxwell team from Baltimore, Maryland, MD. And he's inspires, empowers, and equips others to share their stories. Thanks to his love for books, he refers to himself as a bookcaster, since he is the best-selling author of 3 books and hosts top-rated self-help podcast that interviews authors from around the world called Going North. His mantra is advance others to advance yourself. I would totally agree with that. And please welcome to the Writer's Block, Mr. Dominic Brightman. Hi, Dom.
How's it going, Jim? Bobby Rubin.
I just want to forewarn you that payback is hell.
And I didn't even give you the tree joke.
No, you didn't. You were pretty good about that. Hey, We got into this this book of yours this week. Both Bobby and I, we talked about it today. We're not normally don't do self-help books here. This is not a gratuitous thank you. This is actually an attempt to maybe even have one or two self-help authors on the show, because you guys are writers apparently, and you do a fairly good job. I'm not real sure if any of it really applied to me, Dom, to be quite honest with you, but a lot of it probably would if I really sat down and absorbed what you were writing about. But the book went very quickly. It's only 67 pages. And tell our audience, if you would, briefly, give us the basics of this novel, or not novel, but the basics of the book that you just submitted for our perusal.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks again for the opportunity to share with your wonderful audience and listeners. Indeed. So the book we're talking about this evening, Stay the Course, The Elite Performer's 7 Secret Keys to Sustainable Success, a nice little short self-help book for folks to devour and really help them get to the next level in life, or really just confirm what they may already be doing. Yeah, that's really what it's all about, just giving folks that reminder, hey, keep pushing forward if you're pushing forward. And if you're not, like, hey, here's a little pick-me-up, a little reminder, like, hey, maybe it's a little gratitude here, maybe a little reminder about being aware of your time and the hair, and just really just try to live the best life you can possible.
And that's with a little help from guidance from wherever you can get it. And it's interesting, your opening to this book is that you and another young lady, she challenged you to write a book, and you didn't take her up on the challenge, which I thought was kind of fun, but then you did. And she wrote one as well at the same time. So I find that amazing that, you know, and you just picked it up and you said, okay. And then you wrote like a demon for however long you wrote, and you got it done.
14 days.
Yeah. I was pretty impressed with that. I mean, you know, I write like a slug, so I wouldn't know what writing like a demon is like, but.
Well, I think one thing is we know, Jim, that oftentimes, you know, we're told write what you know. And Dom definitely is writing about what he knows. And I thought it would be fun to have you talk a little bit about two things that seems to have impacted you, Toastmasters, and also your time working in a library, right. and dealing with the public, not only the library with books and media and all of that cultural center of a library, which is so critical today more than ever before. But even your interaction with people in the library, we want to just touch on those two topics, Toastmasters and the library.
Sure thing. Yes, indeed. So Toastmasters, where we keep all the bread warm and a little hard, so that way folks can put some nice cream cheese and butter on it. That was the best of which. We don't do that. We don't master that kind of toast.
You know, I'm sending them a copy of this, so just so you know.
Well, I'm going to get laughed out of it. It's like, oh, we should never let them join us. Like, darn it, me to kick them out now. But seriously, though, it's a nice little nonprofit organization has been around for a good 90 plus years, and it's all about helping folks to become better leaders and speakers, and public speaking is what it's mainly known for, because it's want to get over that lack of confidence and really get the confidence to speak in front of other people, because they may have to give more presentations at their job if they're a manager or they're in sales. They want to be able to get more comfortable, maybe even practice speaking in front of more audiences to get more self-confidence. And one of the major things about that organization is I like to call it a leadership laboratory, because a lot of folks, especially nowadays, they may want to get that job promotion, maybe get into management. And then they get into management and they realize, man, this is not for me. This is like adult daycare. So instead of going straight into management because of a failed interview opportunity I had to advance, I realized, all right, let me work on my skills here and go to a place where I have a sandbox, where if I metaphorically press a button and the building explodes, they'll be like, oh, all right, it's all good. Nobody died. You can try again later. And that's basically one of the major things about Toastmasters, because I got a chance to be president of a club that was basically I wouldn't say on life support, but it lost a lot of his membership. It was right. At the time, I'd say around a good, probably about a good 40 or so members, because the president who came before me 2 years earlier, he was in sales and he knew a lot of people. He would just drag people to the meetings and they would eventually join. But after he left, some of them left with them. Then the following year, we had some leftover folks who really wanted to stay and learn, but then a few of those left and we were down to about a good 12 members. So we had to try to get the club back up to 20 members, and we're able to do that and rebuild the club. And it just showed me that, hey, sometimes when you're casting a vision in front of people and helping them try to catch and give them some tools and equip them to really take charge, sometimes you have to be a pace setter and folks may not always keep pace with you. And sometimes you have to be with another pace setter and try to keep up with them and learn as much as you can, because not everybody will keep up with you. And sometimes we can't keep up with other people, and just being able to adjust and learn and how people operate. And heck, even the library world itself, where we serve a lot of folks with diverse backgrounds, especially the public library I work at. We have a nice little center for kids, birth to five. Then a little stream space for science, technology, engineering, reading, and math. And a little area for that to help kids develop that. Then we get teens pre-COVID or BC before COVID. We used to get 100 to 300 high school students after school. And we would basically have video game systems, programs for them, and an after-school snack program. And then, of course, we get a few adult programs, and we also offer PC help for senior citizens who retired, and they're like, oh, I don't want to see another computer again, to now where it's like, oh, this Social Security ain't helping too much. I got to get me a part-time job. And they're like, oh, crap, it's all online now. So helping them with that. So we're basically everything to everyone in the community.
Right,
and being able
right.
to communicate across those generations is probably the two major skills. So being able to communicate across many multiple generations and being a pace setter and adjusting your pace accordingly.
Right. Well, here's an idea for you. Stand at the door at the exit, and as these people leave, to hand them a copy of your book.
Oh, yeah. I pitch a
troll. Just saying.
I sneak into some of the people's bags when they're not looking.
Well, that's better than the 93-year-old guy in Toastmasters that's sitting there telling his friends, I told him, don't hire that guy. Don't hire him.
Well, I would imagine that you get a lot of your inspiration, though, from being around all of these different people and also watching interactions with them, as well as just your own interest in this subject matter. You, when you met the gal that you made the agreement with to write a book, you were sharing with her a list of 100 books that were all in this topic, and I'm assuming you had read them all. We're very familiar with them. And how long is that list now, Dom?
Oh, my goodness.
More than five?
Well, that that's definitely a good number. More than five, for real. Yeah.
I
probably say it would. I would probably drill it down to 50, and I would take out well, obviously half the titles, and probably drill it down to a few more titles.
Yeah. Well, and there's new things being written all the time. There was a time when my husband and I read a lot of material in this category, and it was all we read. It was all about, you know, who you are is going to be what you eat, what you read, what you listen to. And so we sort of turned off the TV and we were totally. And I bet you all those books were written before you were born.
Yeah, probably.
You know, Dale Carnegie and Robert Schuller, and it was all new to me. And of course, kind of a sponge reading so many of those at that time. But I'm sure all of the books on your list are all probably written in the last 5 to 10 years.
Well, I have to tell you, Dom, that when the first book that Bobby Jean read that wasn't a book that like that was my book, The Hunter.
Yes.
Oh, wow. And yeah, her comment was, it's very salty.
Well, I was back to reading fiction. I had stepped away from fiction for, you know, five or six years. So Yeah.
But that was it. Hang everybody and hang tough. We're going to go to a real quick commercial and we'll be back with you in just a minute. And this is LA Talk Radio. You are listening to the Writer's Block and we'll be right back with you and Mr. Dom Brightman right after this word from LA Talk Radio. Jim Christina here for LA Talk Radio. And if you've ever thought that you could be a radio host, well, now is certainly your opportunity. Go to www.latalkradio.com. Find the link that says be a host and follow the instructions. You know, everybody's got something to say. And if you've got a show that you think needs to be heard, how about you link up with us? Because we've got 50-minute shows available every day of the week, plus Sundays. So how about giving us a try? That's latalkradio.com. And listen every Thursday, 6 p.m. Pacific for the Writer's Block right here on LA Talk Radio. And we are back. We are with Mr. Dominic Brightman and, of course, Bobby Jean Bell in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and broadcasting to you from my very secret studio here somewhere in the Sawtooth Mountains in the late great state of Idaho. So there you go. Oh, the number, I'm going to get this wrong, Bobby. I know it. It's 323-302-0815. Is that correct?
I don't have it written down in front of me.
Well, if it's wrong, Ronan's going to tell me.
Ronan's going to tell us.
But I'm going to say it again, and if it's wrong, I'm sure he's going to correct me. The number of the studio here, if you want to call and talk to Dom, the number here is 323-302-0815, and I'll bet you anything it's wrong. But, you know, which means, Dom, that nobody's going to call and talk to you. But, hey. Hey, oh, wait a minute.
Great company already.
Okay, 323-203-0815. I knew there was a 3 and a 2 and an O, but.
Oh,
it's dyslexia. It comes after you with your old age, you know. Okay, let's talk a little bit about your you're reading your book. It doesn't sound suspiciously like anything that I like I said earlier, I'm not a big reader of self-help. And I think there's too many self-help books out there and everybody's got a different take and everybody's got a different idea and everybody's ideas clash with everyone else's and you don't know which one is really going to help you. And I'm not going to spend my life reading self-help books to find the one book that is going to do something for me. So I just don't read them. Consequently, I'm pretty screwed up, and that's okay. But
I don't think so.
You're
not screwed up.
but you yourself. I mean, you were raised in a religious Baptist family. I think is it Baptist?
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah, and I mean they're like uber religious. Most of them. And I was raised a Catholic, and they're like really uber religious. I like I told you before, I like the wafers and I like the wine, even though the wine was cheap. But anything's good when you're 15. So hey, but normally the Baptist religion and your upbringing does not lend itself well to like self-help books, does it?
No, it actually does, and most of them, unless you sprinkle in with some of the Bible with it, It's really not welcomed.
Right. So you just jumped on a ledge and decided to go over the top, and now you've written two or three. Three?
Oh, yeah, two. Definitely two right now. There's a third one on the way eventually.
Oh, okay. So you have one in the oven, and you got two on the road. And what is the other one? I mean, we know what this one's about. What about your other one?
Yes. So the first one that was going north, that was the one that was there to write. And of course, stay the course, the one for tonight. And the third one, I kind of call that one, I sometimes jokingly call it book 2.5 because that was a group effort. It was a multi-author book called From Crappy to Happy, Sacred Stories of Transformational Joy. And that was basically me just putting a piece of my story. And if you read the first book, Going North, and read the chapter 9, is basically a more polished story-based version in Crappy to Happy, along with other fabulous humans. And the next book that I'm going to be writing is going to be called Pod Book It. Mm. And that's basically the working title for the moment. So the title's Pod Book It, The 3 Steps to respond to your greatness by starting a podcast, writing a book, or doing both. So basically take what I'm doing and helping folks to really help them start that podcast, write that book, or do both if they want to become a bookcaster instead of a spellcaster.
There you go. You know, we Bobby and I have talked about this. This is our sixth year on the air. In fact, our anniversary is next month, the 15th of next month. And we have talked about this, and we're one of the very few shows that go out live every week. I mean, if you were to tune into this show, it would be live, and you would get everything. I mean, nothing gets bleeped.
Yep.
I mean, mistakes happen, and they have, and whoppers have happened, but that's okay. It's live radio, and, you know, it's just the way it is. But we talked about podcasts a lot, and we are very grateful that our show – actually, right after the live broadcast goes to a podcast, and people are able to pick it up. And hence, it grows our listenership. And podcasts themselves have large listenerships if you're a popular podcast. And yours are. I've seen yours all over the place. You know, Don Brighton, you know, go north. Well, okay, I went north, and we had a fun 45 minutes.
Hooray. All right, Mr. Accomplished. That's usually the goal for each guest.
I even sent you two books, but I bet you didn't even open yet.
I opened them. Still going through them.
Oh. Well, just strike out the F words and put in whatever word you want to put. So, but anyway, we do appreciate the podcast, but the writer's block, this writer's block is the only writer's block that goes out live. So if you find other writer's blocks, they're just podcasts, and not saying just podcasts are bad, but this one is live and podcasted. There, I got that out, Bobby. How was that?
That was good. Can I ask him a couple questions about?
Of course podcasting? You can. I'm going to shut up now.
I signed up on your website today because you have a nice little incentive. If you sign up, you receive a 21 lessons learned. And I thought, well, you know, I definitely, even though we do this every week, I'm actually involved in a couple of other interview shows. I'd really like to know. And so it was very interesting. So to our listeners, I would recommend, number one, you've got a great website anyway, but then you want to sign up and get the subscription, because if you have any interest, and I think, Dom, you have a love for the author and wanting, just like we do, and wanting the authors to get more exposure and more platforms, and you're recommending that they consider starting their own podcast, yes?
Yes, ma'am, indeed.
Yeah. So I know, Jim, we're gonna go to a commercial. Do you wanna go to a commercial and then?
No, we got five minutes. Go ahead.
So Dom, maybe take a moment and talk a little bit about how a podcast can be helpful to a writer to start their own.
That's a very good question.
It definitely is. It definitely is. And glad you asked that question, because it's so true. Because last April, this time last year, there were over 1 million podcasts reported on Apple Podcasts, and that's still considered the biggest place for podcasts. And all the mics that you could podcast with were sold out on Amazon.com because everybody was stuck at home. And they're like, oh, I'm working from home and I can do my work in like an hour. What am I going to do with this extra time? And while my kids are driving me crazy, oh, yeah, start a podcast. So basically using the time to your advantage, because one advantage to podcasting, well, there's multiple advantages, of the fact that it gives readers a chance to learn the person behind the book. You basically get to learn the writer if they decide to make it a solo cast where it's just them and not trying to do the popular thing and have an interview-based show. Is where you get to actually take readers in, maybe even read a couple chapters from the book as a way to give authors other listeners a chance to listen to their content, to promote themselves and to promote their work. And heck, if they occasionally want to guest other authors on their platform, other people, it'll give them a chance to not only grant exposure to other people, but that'll build up your author network, and that'll open the gateway to more collaborations. Mm-hmm. Like saying yes to Mickey, I think it was early last year, 2020, led me to this wonderful opportunity here tonight with Jim being on his show and a few months ago and had him on my show. Mm-hmm. So just being open to that opportunity to connect with others, to really give not only yourself that exposure, but give others the exposure. And in a way, you're kind of letting 100 flowers blossom, especially if you constantly promote, market, and share your show with others, because you never know who's listening, because mm-hmm. not everybody's vocal sometimes about catching what you do. And it may be at a surprising moment when you least expect it. And you're like, wow, so you've been listening to the show and you actually bought the book. It's like, wow, I got to drip out the faucet this month. So that was you who bought the book. Thanks.
Well, and one of in your seven in the book that we read, and there are seven key components. You talk about connection awareness, and you talk about also being an inspiration to others. Mm. That as we're self-actualizing, that you know, if we can be a spark to inspire somebody else. So if somebody's listening to your podcast and thinks, you know, I think I'd like to do that. You know, you may be inspiring, you don't even know how many people through not just what you're writing, but what you're presenting through podcast form.
Oh, yeah, definitely could say that again. One of my listeners, I got to shout him out, Stanley McCloskey. Well, he finally published his first book called Divorce is Worse Than Death. And when he handed me a few hardback copies to give away as gifts to people, including a personalized signed one, he said that the podcast itself is like his morning routine for commutes, and some of the content he's been getting from a lot of the guests is actually somewhat even almost as good as some of the paid conferences that he attended. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. he even shared it with some of his colleagues. And funny enough, one of his colleagues who retired from the Air Force that works with them, she actually guested on the show a year before he did. So it's a small world.
Yeah.
It can
yeah.
be.
Yeah.
Dom, let me ask you this, because I don't know the answer to this. I know that Bobby and our this show here is kind of popular because we kind of make things real fun for the authors. Don't you feel that in order for you to have a successful podcast, you have to make it fun not only for the author, but for the listener as well? If they don't like you or they don't like the way you're doing your podcast, you're going to get zero listeners. And your thoughts?
I wholeheartedly agree with that. That's why I bring my personal fun side to the show and just really make it fun for the listeners and for myself as well. And sometimes it can get a little too fun because I've noticed with some of the past few episodes, we go off and venture off into dessert land where we're talking about random desserts. Funny enough, one of the shows, the end recording is probably about an hour, 20 minutes, and I cut out 20 minutes of it because we were talking about red velvet cupcakes and sweet potato pie. So you're so right.
We tend to get a little bit crazy around here too.
That's happened with us too.
Yeah, it's nothing new. We're going to go ahead, and Bobby, I'm just going to go ahead and run that ad now.
Okay, all right.
And this is LA Talk Radio, and of course you're listening to The Writer's Block, and we will be right back after this real brief word from Out West.
Here at the Out West Shop, we're passionate about the American West, the truth and the myth. We're purveyors of fine Western goods. We scout for unique and distinctive apparel, accessories, home decor, and general merchandise that are a reflection of the Western lifestyle. We hunt for unique artisans and craftsmen who are inspired to create decorative art you can wear based on their own love for the story of the West. We round it up and bring it to you. Check out OutWestShop.com when you need anything Western.
And we are back. That, of course, is Bobby Jean and Jim Bell and their shop out in Albuquerque, Out West. You'll find them online at OutWest.com.
OutWestShop.com.
And, of course, you can call and talk to our guest tonight, Mr. Dom Brightman. The number here is 323-203-0815. And as Bobby used to say, get a pencil.
Write it down.
323-203-0815. I should listen to my own advice because I never can remember this. let me ask you, Dom, what got you into podcasting?
Ah, yes. That's what got me into podcasting. Funny enough, for years, I've been told I got this wonderful voice radio, and I'm like, okay, I might as well do something with it. And in 2010, I heard my first ever podcast. It was an old show called The O Show, which is about professional wrestling and basically life. It was like these two, it was a host of two guys. The one guy called himself Big Daddy Donnie, and there's another guy who was a Canadian rap legend, Danny O, and they would sometimes bring in guests and whatnot. It was just so fun. It was like that was my highlight of the week every Thursday of the week. And that was kind of where I got my first podcast listen. And then around 2014, a few years later, I was like, wow, I've been listening to the show for a few years. And then I had a coach at the time who was like, hey, you mentioned that you like podcasts. Why don't you start a podcast of your own? And I'm like, okay, that's a good idea. Listen to other great shows and whatnot. And a few years down the road, after going on a side quest of becoming an author, I was able to journey back over to the podcasting side of 2017 when it was about a good, wow. So I think it was March 2017, lost my father who died from dementia. And then about a good 6 months later, September, I finally launched my first ever series of podcast episodes for Going North after interviewing a few people. And that came because I wanted a way to both market my book and help other folks as well, because my life motto of advancing others to advance myself, that's something I want to live out. And in a way, this is a way to help serve others. So that's really what got me into podcasting, just listening to other shows and realizing that the barrier for entry is so low nowadays. It's like, heck, why not do it? You can have fun with it too.
Well, you can. And you know, and your focus is much like ours in that you focus on writers. And we try to focus, gear our show towards new writers, especially. So we always ask our guests if there's any advice that they can give to a new writer. If you were to sit down and look at one or talk to one, not that you ever would, of course, because we all know that great writers like yourself don't do that. But no, I'm kidding. But if you were to be able to sit down and with a bunch of new writers, what advice would you give them for them to start a new book?
Sure thing. So the classic advice that every writer has probably said, at least once when they get this question, is just to start writing. That's definitely one. That's the easy thing. And the second one is to make sure you schedule some time to write.
Right.
It could be every day, and a lot of great writers do that. They go and they try to get sometimes 500 words a day if they can, sometimes 2,000. No matter what it is, if it's a bad story or whatever, just write every day. Me personally, my books, I've never written personally every day. I just set aside 2 or 3 days out of the week after work and go to a coffee shop and just start writing after work because the ambient noise is good for me. And that's another thing too for writers is to find your POP, your place of productivity. Find out where you perform best for your creative muse to show up and just really just start writing then and just have a schedule. You don't have to write every day to get a book finished and complete, but you definitely have to write. And heck, even keep it creative too. Find different things to write about. Heck, even journaling will also help as well. Like some of the stuff in my books is from stuff that I actually journaled about in the past. And heck, even if you're doing interviews in time for like a pre-sale for a follow-up book, probably using past content from past interviews that you've had with others. And another thing too, keeping a notepad with you and a pen to be able to record your thoughts because you have to ink it when you think it.
Because you like that, ink it when you think it.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Because
that's
we
use that?
Yeah, go ahead, because I got that from my coach. Like that's not even my original quote. You can go ahead and use it.
Ink it when you think it. You know, the book had certainly your own input, but you also shared a lot of quotes and stories of successful, you know, instances that you use a success story as an example. I'm going to call that research. And so you, when you're writing, do you already kind of know, or how do you decide, I've got this list of quotes I'm going to use in this book? Or are you kind of staring at the books on the shelf in your writing space and you go, I'm going to pull that one down and flip through and I'm going to find the perfect quote? How did you find the pieces that you used in this book?
Great question. First time I've actually been asked that question. I love it. Funny enough, my favorite author of all time, John C. Maxwell, who not only writes about self-help, but mostly leadership from his own personal experience, he mentioned how he first, when he first became a pastor, he would basically take notes every day and document and create his own following system of quotes, stories, and anecdotes so he would have something to go to when he's writing his sermons every Sunday. So basically, digging your well before you're thirsty. Back in 2013, when I got into personal and professional development through those books and fell in love with reading again, I would basically take notes from my favorite quote, I would write them down, and then put them later in my computer. And when it came time to release book number two, I realized, hey, let me put a list of quotes in here. So I went back in the past of different quotes, and I saw which ones matched with the themes of the different chapters mm-hmm. that were in the book. And I was like, okay, it was kind of hard to choose 50 to go with. And I just figured, okay, let me choose ones from the podcast, since that way it'll give certain authors an extra dose of publicity. And two, another way to highlight quotes that you may not always hear all the time, because we may hear like classic Socrates or Lao Tzu from The Art of War, heck, even Gary Vaynerchuk in the marketing space and whatnot. But there may be some other obscure authors that you may not hear from, or from books that a lot of folks may not read, and just put those in the book. And if they aligned with the theme, then that's how I chose the quote.
Well, in the very first chapter, Mental Awareness Mindset, you talked about a concept that, as I read it, I totally got it, but I hadn't really heard it before. And you call it the in-in mindset. And then you you gave us a great example, kind of through Japanese, very, it was very interesting. And I have read a lot of things, but nothing really current. And I thought, wow, that's a really interesting, you want to just tell us what in-in is?
You two are definitely masters of your craft. You're like black belts and interviewers in the interview skill, because I've never gotten that question. And that shows you've actually read the book, which is freaking awesome. And
another we read the book.
It's amazing. The in-in method.
Yeah.
It's basically based off of two wonderful Japanese principles. One is Shoshin, the beginner's mind, and Kaizen, which is continuous improvement. So having the beginner's mind to always improve daily. And when you go in on the daily, you're basically having the mindset of a beginner, always curious. Because if you're curious, that's where you're going to expand. And that's actually one of the C's and one of the talks I give, the 5 C's for explosive growth. And curiosity is one of them. Because that's another way that, heck, that's another tip for authors too, is to always be curious. Because especially for patches and D's, like, all right, what's in my mind today that's going to get on this paper or on this computer today? And just always being curious and then typing it as you go along. And then also always improving as well. So after writing things down, going back over it and then sharpening your sword metaphorically and just being able to polish what you're doing. Because one of the things that I also do based off of this method is have a New Year's mantra instead of a New Year's resolution. Because New Year's resolutions, they disappear. But a New Year's mantra, a 1-3 word theme for the year, that'll stick with you a lot longer. And you can go in diverse ways. It's not like the classic lose 30 pounds, go to the gym for like 2 days. Yeah. And then it's like, oh, I guess I'll just try again next year. Like, no, let me just go ahead and focus on quarterly goals. Make a 12-week year instead. Go in quarters, have a mantra, keep that in the forefront of my mind and just keep going.
Well, and I think part of what I liked about the in-in was the reminder that if you believe you know it all, you're not going to be open to, you know, whatever it might be. And I think that's so easy, especially as we get older and we go through life and we may think, well, I think I thought I knew it all when I was like 15, but I learned that wasn't true. But then we go through the joys and losses of life. And at some point we maybe say, you know, nothing new under the sun. I've been there, you know, I know it all. And yet if we keep that fresh, open mind, we may discover that there's a whole lot of things we really don't know.
Yeah. And it just seems like no matter how old you get, the horizons are always fresh.
Mm-hmm. You need to keep them fresh
in front of you, and you need to keep them fresh. Mm-hmm. There's a question for you, Dom. You have something you say in your book is that crisis creates the champion that you were meant to be. Can you elaborate a little bit on that? Because that it seems to me that because I'm a schmuck, it seems to me that crisis generates feelings and that you don't want to generate yourself a champion. It holds you back more than it generates you into a champion. So can you kind of elaborate a little bit on that?
Yeah. The fun and the bun continues, baby. Gotta love it. Because crisis does create the champion that you're meant to be. And the reason why I say that is because sometimes I think it even goes back to the classic Martin Luther King Jr. quote is about the fact that, and as soon as I mentioned the name, the darn quote left my head. That's interesting. But really just about the fact that it even kind of goes to about the man in the arena. Sometimes how crisis doesn't really, it just really reveals character and really just helps you to realize that, hey, sometimes you go through those dark moments to help you realize how strong you can be.
Mm-hmm.
Because writing that thing down, I remember writing that because I was going through a rough time in the final months of my father's life, because that was the year I was basically saying yes to just about everything. And I fell into this volunteer quicksand where I was volunteering for Toastmasters and overseeing 17 clubs in the Upper Maryland area. And that was almost like a 40-hour week job. Then I had my actual full-time job at the library. Then also being a caregiver, one of the co-caregivers for my dying father. And this week in particular was the same week. This was the day after Christmas when he actually fell and cracked 5 of his ribs and his lung collapsed. And it was even more sad because that was the first time he was back home even for a short hour, because he was in a nursing home or in a hospital at least for a month, if not 2 months, before that bad fall. So it's like, oh crap, so now he's back in hospital again. And basically ran over to see how he was doing, and they had to do emergency surgeries on him that day. It was probably about, I think it was like 8 o'clock in the morning, and they were able to help him to still live, because if folks would have waited a couple more hours, he could have been dead. So
right.
He was able to survive the surgery, and that was the same night. It was a Wednesday night where I was president of one club where that was the same rebuild year. And I realized, wait a second, this would be a perfect chance for me to say, all right, let me see if I can delegate to one of my team members. But the last time I didn't attend the meeting, my darn officers disappeared for a whole month of meetings. So I'm like, all right, I'm not going to go through this again, so I'll just attend the darn meeting. Attended the meeting, basically had no running on, probably no sleep, and then going to the hospital directly after, seeing how my father was doing afterwards, still running on no sleep, and he was still okay. And just going through the weeks, I was still able to give some more passionate talks that really showed my emotion after that, and really still made sure I turned on the customer service face for the day job, because even though it can be easier said than done sometimes, is to not take the personal into your professional life, yeah. Even though they are more blended now more than ever, especially since we're no longer in BC before COVID, and really just taking those moments of realizing, wow, I ran on those days with little to no sleep, still gave talk, still was able to put on a smiling face and get through the moments. Now, granted, I'm still paying for it later with this weight I'm trying to get off, but still, like, it was able to still get through those mm-hmm. moments mm-hmm. and still come out of the fire alive, and still was able to share time with family and everything. So crisis mm-hmm. definitely helps you to create the champion that you're meant to be.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You also comment that failure is very important. You have a lot of respect for failure.
Oh yeah, because failures, aka L's or losses, become lessons. It's like, all right, so what did I learn from this opportunity? It's like, oh, was this a bad investment? All right, let me not do that again.
Well, you know, I used to have a college professor that used to tell me that failure is nothing more than an opportunity to learn something different.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I absolutely agree with that. And I have agreed with that my whole life. And it really makes a difference in how you think.
It does.
Yeah. Hang tough, guys. We're going to be back with you in just a minute.
Okay.
Right now, we're going to hear a real brief word from Creative Edge.
Hi, Jim Christina here for Creative Edge Publicity. And you know there's a reason that authors flock to Creative Edge? Yes, it's true, and no one would believe it, but it is true. Creative Edge, the grassroots publicity firm that has stayed community-minded, is growing. And not only growing, but busting right out of their seams. With a client base of over 70 authors, 2 New York Times bestsellers, 6 USA Today bestsellers, and multiple international bestsellers and award winners, Creative Edge in 4 years has become one of the mainstays in the publicity book market, offering reader-focused opportunities in all levels of media, including podcasts, radio, TV, print, and much more. When it comes to publicity, Mickey Mickelson and Creative Edge are experts in the book industry. Look him up at www.creative-edge.services. Creative Edge, it's your brand, your future.
And we're back. And in the time we have left, Tom, we're running out of time. We have to ask you the question. I don't know if it really pertains, but I'm going to ask it anyway. In your writing of your 2 books, did you ever run into writer's block? And if you did, how did you manage to get yourself out of it?
Yes, the classic question about the Legos for writers, the writer's block.
There it is. Hey, we make our money on that question.
There you go. Hey, got to make them dolls to make them holler.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah, but I have to say, yeah, there was some writer's block, and that was probably with actually both books. The first book, after the day I wrote those 14 pages, like a man possessed, like that was like November 2015. Then I didn't pick up the writing again until January of 2016.
Wow.
And with the follow-up book, Stay the Course, that one was because I had to deal with imposter syndrome. So it was kind of like a mix. It was more of, am I really qualified to write and publish a book like this? Because that was probably about a good year after I was into my podcast and talking with these wonderful folks who published all these books, created million-dollar businesses, and turned their trials into triumphs and whatnot. And I'm like, dude, I'm like, am I qualified to write this? And really just digging deep within myself and realizing the biggest way to help me to get over that is realizing that they may have their followings, but I may tell my story from my side in a certain way that they may not reach. It kind of goes to that story from an ancient book where it mentions how we are meant to do greater works than the person that came. Like, hey, it's even though someone may come and do great works, but he or she may have followers that became leaders and made bigger impacts than the original teacher. It's kind of like the whole Jim Rohn to Tony Robbins or Ip Man to Bruce Lee. It's like, hey, there's great people out there, but hey, I got some greatness within me too. Mm-hmm. And just realizing that I can add my own contribution to it. So if you are dealing with writer's block, realize that you have your own greatness within yourself and you can conquer that writer's block if you just set aside the time to do it and focus on being better than what you were before.
And don't give up.
That's right.
And don't give up. Yeah.
Keep writing.
Keep writing. It just there's no reason not to. You know, whatever you write, even if it's bad, it can be fixed. So just keep writing. You know, we believe that. We believe that totally, don't we, Bobby?
We do.
We do.
You can't.
And of course, but Dom,
a blank page.
Dom, you and I spoke briefly about this. And of course, if you're not willing to go out there and shamelessly self-promote, don't write.
Yep.
Because that's the only way your stuff's going to get sold. If you're not willing to self-promote, just don't even bother. And never give up your day job. Those 2 things. Mm-hmm. Mr. Don Brightman, thank you so much for joining us. If you wouldn't mind, give our audience your web address and your email if you wouldn't mind, and so they can find you.
Yeah, my pleasure, D. Thank you, Bobby, Jim, and the rest of the wonderful team at the Writer's Block LA Talk Radio Studio. For those who've enjoyed the conversation we had, head over to DomBrightman.com, DomBrightman.com. That's all things Dom and Dom related. And just like Bobby did earlier today, you can get a nice free gift if you leave your email, and you'll get some inspiration in your inbox all on DomBrightman.com. And if you want to reach me directly, email me at Dom@DomBrightman.com. And of course, check out the Going North podcast, especially Jim's episode
there
and all
go.
The other things to come.
January 16th, and it's Brightman, B-R-I-G-H-T-M-O-N,
That's
not
right.
M-A-N. Okay, thanks for coming in, Dom. I know it's getting late out there, and you probably got to go to the library in the morning and shoo the homeless out of the foyer, so... That's what they have to do in L.A. Seriously, the poor people have no place to go, and the library people don't even really show them out. They just leave them alone.
Yeah.
So God bless them. Anyway, thanks for joining us. It's been a hoot, and when this new book comes out, by several people, get a hold of the bookie, get her rebooked for the show, and we'll bring you back in.
Woohoo! Might even bring some bunny ears.
There you go. We loved having you, Dom. You're just a breath of fresh air. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
All right. Go have a beer now. Next week on the Writer's Block, we're featuring author Steve Maloney, but our guest is actually going to be author Claire Nolan, who is a co-author of his book, Take Me Home, Huey. And it's the story of a dilapidated Huey helicopter from Vietnam that they found, and they reconditioned, they put it on a trailer, and they hauled it around the United States for veterans to sign. And this whole helicopter is signed by people, and it's just wonderful. The story is great. And we'll be talking with Claire next week on the Writer's Block. And anything you want to announce, Bobby, before we go home?
No.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Well, I want to thank Dom again for joining us. It's late in Baltimore. But, I mean, it was worth the time. He's a great guy. He's a good guest. And his book, even though I'm not a self-help fanatic, I mean, the book was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So there we have it. So for Bobby Jean Bell and, of course, her husband Jim and Out West, myself, Jim Christina, Russ Avison, Ronan Rosner, our capable engineer, and, of course, Mr. What's his name again? Sam Hassan, who owns the studio. Sorry, Sam. We love you. We, as the Writer's Block, are out of here.